for today. As I mentioned last week, there are a number, I believe it's 7 if memory serves correctly, but there are a number of statements that Christ makes as he's on earth that we read about through the book of John. John, written by his youngest disciple, who is in his early 20s or so when Jesus dies, who outlives all of the other disciples, probably because he's the youngest, and he's also the only one who dies a natural death. And John records these I am statements. Now, I mentioned last week, right, this is not the same I am Yahweh statement that God makes to Moses when he's before the burning bush. Christ will make that statement later, but that's not the word that's here. Right? It's I am, two separate words, not the name I am. However, it would have still resonated most likely with them that he is saying, I am. The same name. God gives himself one name in all of Scripture. We've given him a lot of names, whether it be Emmanuel, Jehovah Jireh, right? Whatever, right? Jehovah Nisi, there's a whole bunch of them. God the Father names himself one time, and it is Yahweh. The I am. That is his name. I am. Now he names Jesus as Emmanuel. The angel comes down and says that he will be Emmanuel, God with us. But that's God the Son. God the Father has one name in Scripture, Yahweh. And Christ will call himself that later on. We won't get to that one. But the fact of the matter is that what he is saying is that I am these things. We looked at last week, we looked at where he says, I am the bread of life. We talked about that already this morning. I won't rehash all of that. In today's, there's two spots. In John chapter 8, which we already read, and here in John chapter 9, he makes this statement that I am the light of the world. If you guys have put two and two together, there's a reason we sang Here I Am to Worship this morning. The first line in that song is, light of the world. You came down in the darkness. It's also similar to in John chapter 1. We won't go back and read that. But in John chapter 1, it talks about the light and the darkness hating the light. But let's read this. We already read John chapter 8, verse 12. So I'm going to read to you John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It reads, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want to read to you, I didn't put it up there, but I want to read to you verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 12 again, just so that you can have that in your mind as well. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, number one in your note sheets, if you grabbed a bulletin and you've got a note sheet. Number one, walk in darkness. Walk in darkness. So in John chapter 9, we read about a physical darkness. Now, I would not call myself a scaredy cat. I deal with, I have certain things that I am terrified of. And I'm going to talk about one of them here in just a second. But I'm not overly scared of a lot of things, right? I can get startled very easily. Like, for instance, I'm not scared of snakes. But when I'm mowing the lawn and one slithers away and I don't know that it's there, you get a little jump, right? I'm not scared of spiders, but when you feel one crawling on you and you didn't realize there was one there, you get a little spooked, okay? So I can get startled, but I'm not scared of a lot of things. One thing that I am objectively terrified of is not the dark, but not being able to see. If I'm in a car, and, you know, I live around here, as does, I'm guessing, all of you. I don't think anybody came here from, like, California for church this morning. Maybe somebody listening. Around here, between the months of October and, like, June, you have to scrape your windows off on your car, right? That's an exaggeration. It's a shorter window than that, but not by much. I will not get in that vehicle unless my window is scraped. I won't do it. I need to see where I'm, even if I'm not the one who's driving, I need to see where I'm going. I have been asked Yeah, you know, was it last week that we did the pie in the face? It was. I got pied in the face last week, right? Because we brought in, by the way, the final count was 450 items. So that's awesome. We did 150 more items for our food pantry than what we were looking for. That is awesome. We can praise God for that. He's incredible, as are you guys, right? He gave you resources. You use them. We love it. And we had this thing, right? 300, and I get pied in the face. I don't mind that at all. I have been asked before, not by the kids here, but when I was at not a youth group, when Mom and I were doing VBSs down in Scranton, if I would be blindfolded. And I said, no, I will not do it. I will not be blindfolded. I don't do it. I don't like it when somebody comes and puts their hands over my eyes. My initial reaction is to start fighting. If I cannot see, I don't have a flight response, I have a fight response. I will fight my way out until I can see again. So, all of that to say, I can't imagine what it would be like to be blind. I am sure that eventually, through the grace of God, if he struck me blind, I would get over that fear. I would have to. But where's this man, this person, who has been blind from birth? And they say, Rabbi or teacher, his disciples. And they ask what might be the dumbest question, but it's a question everybody asked back then. Who sinned, this guy or his parents that caused him to be blind? See, they had this view of God, that God struck a calamity like that on people because of their sin. It would be like if one of you went up to my dad and said, now who sinned, Sam or you, that caused him to be such a fat idiot? That's what it would be like. It's a dumb question. It's my fault. I really like bread and ice cream. And I don't like to study. More aptly, it would be like if you walked up to him and said, now who sinned, you or him, that made you guys diabetic? Well, you know what? It's also because we really like sweets and pasta, and we have a genetic disposition to it. Bless you. Oh, by the way, bless you to Kathy. I didn't say bless you earlier when we were, was it during the hymn when we were singing? And I felt bad about it, so God bless you. But even today, not necessarily today, but in the modern age, people thought like this. You think back to when, AIDS was all the rage. Nobody understood it. And so many Christians went, this is God's punishment on the gays. What kind of idiocy does that have to be? Find me the place in Scripture that says that God does that to people, especially in the church age when he has shown grace and mercy. And Jesus slaps them across the face, essentially, and says, no. This has nothing to do with sin. This is so that the work of God can be shown. Now, I'm not standing up here saying that every blind person is going to be struck with the ability to see. We know that's not true. I am here to say that every single thing that happens in your life is an opportunity to show the glory of God and to show the work of God. Good, bad, and in the middle. And he's using a physical darkness, this man's blindness, to show a spiritual problem. Now, he is going to heal this man, right? He will spit, make mud, put the mud on this guy's eyes. The guy washes his eyes off. He can see. And eventually the Pharisees ask him, they're like, who did this? And he goes, I don't know. It was that guy over there. And they go question Jesus, right? We won't get into all of that today. But the point of this is that God uses a physical problem to illustrate a spiritual problem. A spiritual problem. John 8 talks about a spiritual darkness. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. This does not mean, how many of you guys have a nightlight? That's good. I'm glad we have safe place here. So I don't have a nightlight, but I have a diffuser that has like a flickering flame setting, and I like to put that one on. And then I put on the TV. Maddie comes in, and half the time there's just some sport on, and I'm sprawled out on the bed, just dead to the earth. And she's like, here's the thing. I always put the remotes on her side so that she can change it when she comes in from showering. I try to be a good husband. He's not saying that you'll never be in darkness again, right? I think that's pretty obvious. How many of you have ever been in the darkness? You've been outside at night? Darkness. Now, have you ever been in a room without windows? and they turn the lights off? Or better yet, how many of you have been to the Anthracite Coal Museum down at McDade Park, down in Scranton? If you have not gone, one, it's a great experience, except for to get down into the coal mine, they put you in this old rickety metal cart with a wire like that thick, that not this thick of my fingers, I mean like that thick, and it's an angle like this, and you're just praying that it's not your time to go, because that wire snaps, and it's a very quick ride down to the shaft. Just saying. But you go down there, and one of the things that they do, and they've done this in that coal mine, they've done it, I love caverns and stuff like that, they've done it in every cavern, coal mine, that sort of thing I've ever been in. They say, and this is what it would be like if the lamps went out and they turn it, you can't see a thing. You can't see, you put your hand like this, you cannot see. It is complete, utter darkness. That is the darkness that you and I, when we were unbelievers, and unbelievers now, are walking in. A spiritual darkness where they can't see their hand in front of their face, and there is one light that penetrates that darkness, and it is Christ. That's it. Not even you and I. We reflect Christ's light. The light doesn't come from us. And he says, I am the light of the world. And here's the problem. We read about this in John chapter 1. We love darkness. There's a couple of reasons for that. There's a couple of reasons. One, the darkness hides our deeds. It hides what we do, what we think, what we say. I joke with people, especially like my mom and my wife, right? That because sometimes Maddie will be like, I don't get what's going on in your brain. And I'm like, you don't want to be there. Trust me. I'm there all the time. It's not good property. Very bad property value. But the fact of the matter is, and I know this is true of everyone in here, if all of our sin struggles, if every single one of our thoughts was plastered for everyone to see, we would be horrified. Every single person in here. And you can sit there and pretend like that's not true. You're not being honest with yourself. We love the darkness because it hides our deeds and, get this, it allows us to do those deeds sometimes and think that we're not going to get caught. And we hate the light. As much as we love the darkness, we hate the light for the opposite reasons. The light shows our problems. It is impossible to stand in the presence of Christ and not show who we truly are. We can try to hide it. Right, we can come, we can worship, we can sing the songs, you can put your hand in the air, you can lay down flat on the ground, you can be slain in the spirit, I don't care, speak in tongues, I don't care. Pick whatever worship service you would like to and pretend that that's the one you're at. And you can pretend like everything is perfect, but when you are standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are laid bare, all of you. And he sees it all. Nothing can hide from his light. And that is the light that came into the world. To say, I can show you the way out of the darkness, but you have to follow me. You have to. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, the other problem is that the darkness is death. It's death. A spiritual death. Listen, unless the rapture happens, every single one of us in here is going to die a physical death at some point. Two people in the whole of human history did not die a physical death. That's it. Enoch and Elisha, right? Is it Jah? God played a trick on us. He thinks this is hilarious, I bet. He made two prophets, Elisha and Elijah, one right after the other. They couldn't be separated far enough apart that you could sit. No. They're the same guy, essentially. One of them went up in a chariot of fire. Good for him. The other one died. Two people. That's it. It's like 99.9 repeating percent of people have died. And as much as you might think you're awesome, we're not going to get that. We either go up in the rapture or we go 6 feet underground. We're going to die. The question is, are we going to die a spiritual death? And that's what Christ came to save us from. And here's the thing with this light. We either allow the light to shine on our darkness. Open the door willingly and let that light shine into every crevice. Or whether it's here on earth or before the judgment seat, that light will shine. You see, people like to think that they can avoid God, they can avoid this. You can't. One day that light is going to shine into the darkness. It's just a question of if you're going to let it shine now or when you're standing before the seat and he says, you're out. You're out of here. The world was then 2,000 years ago, and it is now an incredibly dark place. Sin is not just okayed, it is pushed. It is expected, and in fact, to those who do not sin, they are the ones who are ostracized in a community anymore. Whether it's by social media, news outlets, your job, people around you, when you stand up for the things of God, no longer is it, well, okay, they're, yeah. It is, how dare they not follow along with what we believe? Sin and darkness is more rampant than it's ever been outside of the days of Noah, and I think we're close. I can't promise that, but I think we're close. But I know this as well, and we're going to get to let's apply it in just a second. I know this as well. The light has never shone brighter than right now, even when Christ walked this earth. Because Christ was one man. He now has thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people reflecting his light. While the darkness has gotten darker, the light has gotten ever brighter. You can go tell her. So let's apply this to our lives. What does it mean to us that he is the light of the world? I've said this once or twice already, but I want to reiterate this so desperately. Because if you're like me, you struggle with pride and stuff like that. We are not the light. We reflect the light. That is it. There's a song by Newsboys, not the good Newsboys, but the Michael Tate Newsboys. If you're wondering, Peter Furler Newsboys is 1,000 times better than Michael Tate. Michael Tate's not bad, but they're not Newsboys anymore. Sorry. I have very strong opinions about everything, including Newsboys. But the Michael Tate version has a song, and in that song they say, we're the conduits. We're not the power, we're the conduit. That's it. Whatever analogy you would like to use is fine by me, as long as we recognize that we are not the ones. We are commanded to go out into the world and shine that light, but not because we are shining it, because it emanates out of us. And whether it's in music, whether it's in your job, I tell you what, church, today I was really struggling to worship God today. I was in my head so hard today. You probably noticed it because I was stumbling over words. I wasn't playing chords right. And there's one massive, massive reason for that. I was trying to be the light, not let the light shine through me. We're all going to fall in these pitfalls, but we have to remind ourselves, I'm not the light. The light shines through me. My job is just to let it shine. At some point, church, we have to get out of the way and let God work. Secondly, number two on your under, let's apply it. We need to recognize our own darkness. Too often we are not honest about our sins. I'm not saying you need to stand up here in church and say, church, I really struggle with. Nope. But do you have one or two people in your life you can talk to reveal that true darkness in you too? And they can reveal theirs to you and you can walk through this together with God. Because the fact of the matter is that we need to recognize and name our darkness. Not a little pet name, right? We try to give pet names to sin all the time. No, we're going to call it sin and we're going to call it what it is. It is lust. It is greed. It is adultery. It is alcoholism. It is whatever. Jealousy. You know one that Christians don't think they do, yet it is rampant in every church I have ever been in? Gossiping. Boy, do we love to gossip. I don't know if you know this or not, but Janice's son is really, really struggling. Not my son. My son's okay. But Janice's son. We need to pray for Janice's son. How is your son? How's he doing? It's just gossip. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't share prayer requests. I'm not saying that if Janice comes to you and says, hey, Phil, I don't know why Phil talks like that. Hey, Phil, my son's really struggling. I want to confide this in you. My son's really struggling with a drug addiction. We found out about it. He's trying. Would you mind? I know you go to church. If you guys have a prayer meeting, would you mind mentioning it at the prayer meeting so that more people can be praying about it? That's not gossip at that point. But if Janice comes to you and says, Phil is short for Filipina, there you go, and says, I'm really struggling, please don't share this around with anybody yet, we're not ready to share this out yet, and you do it anyway, that's called gossip. Sorry. When we send out a text in church, which by the way, if you're not on our text in church and you'd like to be, the information's in your bulletins, it's where you get all your prayer chain stuff, we send it right out on there. And we say, Maddie is struggling with something right now. And you say, oh, what's she struggling with? We didn't tell you for a reason. Don't ask. When it's time to know, we will let you know. It may never be time for you to know. Just saying. If we say, David's got a health problem, and I use dad as an example because my dad is a stubborn son of a gun who doesn't like people to know what's going on with him. So if we say dad's got a health problem, he doesn't want everybody in the world to go up to him and go, David, what's wrong? What's wrong? God bless her. Most of you in here will know Ida Rapakis. She struggled with cancer for like 3 years and never wanted us to say a word. And we're like, Ida, we can be praying for you. And she's like, nope, I'm good. I don't want people to know right now. And it's okay. All that stuff's your prerogative. The point being that if we say something and don't give all the information, that is not an invitation for you to ask about more information. It is an invitation for you to say, perfect, I will be praying for that because God knows what's going on and he's got it covered. Even if I can't name it, he's got it covered. Churches love to gossip. We love to gossip. People love to gossip. Name and recognize your darkness. And then lastly, here's your practical one. Your practical one for this week. Reflect the light to somebody this week. I left that purposefully vague because it's going to look different for the number of people I didn't count. Jason, how many? You counted, right? 29 people in here will have 29 different ways to share that light because we are different people. We will engage with different people and we will engage with them in different ways. So whatever way God shows it to you, maybe it's you're kind to them. Maybe it's you got a windfall of money and you go out to eat and you leave a really, really good tip for that waiter or waitress, that server, as I think is what they're called, that server. Maybe, I don't know, pick yours. I'm out of ideas already. I've rambled a lot today. But purposefully be the light to somebody this week. We can, not accidentally is not the word. We can be the light without really trying sometimes. But there are many, many, many times where God says intentionally, be the light to that person. And you don't know what's going on. Being the light is not always sharing the full gospel, right? I have never once had a server where I shared the gospel with them. I have had it where they've seen me praying over my food and they've come and asked me, do you mind praying for me for this? Let's do it right now. That's sharing the light. I knew somebody, I don't personally do this, it's not a bad idea though. I knew somebody who anytime they were out to eat, they would ask their server, they would say, we are going to pray over the food. What is one thing we can pray for you when we pray? I don't personally do that. I have done it before. I don't do it every time. I don't do it most of the time, but it's not a bad idea. Most of the time they would go, just my job, you know, because you catch people off guard. They usually don't have one in the chamber ready to go. Going to work that day, oh, I hope somebody asks me what to pray for. I've got it good. I've got one. But the fact of the matter is that that's sharing the light because you are showing them who you are. And who Christ has made you. Maybe it's at work, at play, whatever. How can you share the light to somebody? reflect the light to somebody this week. We've talked two times now. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. And the fact of the matter is that both of these mean I am salvation. No one comes to the Father but through me. And you're going to notice as we walk through these statements that almost all of them come back to that singular, I am God, and I came to seek and to save the lost. Because that was, as we talked about last week, his ultimate purpose. Yeah, he made people wiser. He might have built a really nice chair at some point. He was a carpenter for 30 years, so maybe he was good at it. I don't know. Maybe he was really bad at it. And his dad was like, you can't build legs the same height. Why don't you do something else? I don't know. I would build four legs that are the different heights. I'd be like, I measured them 8 times. How is that one 3 feet and that one's 1/2 a foot? I don't know. Either way, all of these statements, almost all of them will come down to that one thing. I am God and I am here to seek and to save the lost. It's just different ways of saying it. I am the bread of life and now I am the light of the world. We can't be the bread of life to people. That's only him. We can reflect that light to people, though. And we are called to do so. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for light, just light in general. As somebody who really doesn't like not being able to see, I thank you for light. I thank you, more importantly, though, that you walked me out of that spiritual darkness that I could not see. And you gave me the light of life, the light of the world into my heart so that I can reflect it back out to people. I ask for each and every one of us in here that you would do so, that you would help us to reflect that light, that you would show us the opportunity to reflect that light. We praise you, we lift you up, and it's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen and amen.